Well, we've been going through a rather exciting study on the spiritual things that God is doing through believers' lives. I'm certainly enjoying it. I hope that you're enjoying it. And hopefully you've been learning something. If you haven't learned, maybe it's reminded you of a few things. Maybe it's gotten you excited about how the Holy Spirit, how God is working in your life. But it's just been an exciting study. Open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. That's where we find ourselves, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. There's Bibles in front of you if you don't have one. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And what we're talking about is the manifestation of the Spirit. Manifestation of the Spirit. And what we've learned so far in this particular chapter is that Paul is not talking about spiritual gifts. That's where the confusion was. We're not going to go back and rehearse any of that this morning, because I think by now you've hopefully got a pretty good understanding of what spiritual gifts are and the other things that Paul's talking about. And if you've missed them, I encourage you to go back and catch some of the previous messages. You can get them all off the website. But fascinating thing that Paul is teaching us here. But again, he's not talking about spiritual gifts. And I think verse 7 really makes it pretty clear. He's told us so much so far, but then he goes, verse 7, but to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To each is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by one Spirit, to another working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, and another the interpretation of tongues. Verse 11, all these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually, what does it say, as he wills. Don't miss that. Don't miss that. So he's now transitioned. He says, okay, you guys have had a lot of confusion here, misunderstanding all of this. And so what we're going to clarify now is the manifestation of the Spirit. Manifestation of the Spirit. We defined this last week, a couple weeks ago. I don't know. I'm losing track. But we defined it. The manifestation means to take something that's not normally visible and to bring it into light, to make it visible, something that you otherwise wouldn't see. God the Holy Spirit, who's living and working through believers, he wants to sometimes just reveal how awesome he is and sometimes manifest himself by demonstrating his power through believers. Well, last week we looked at the first manifestation, and that's the word of wisdom. The word of wisdom. God sometimes will give us a deeper understanding of his word. And then, of course, sometimes it will apply to a particular situation. He'll give you wisdom of something that you wouldn't just normally know by the facts in front of you. He may reveal something else. The word of wisdom. Then sometimes he will give us a word of knowledge. A word of knowledge. Someone with a word of knowledge usually has a better understanding than normal of God's word. You ever had it, you're reading something, and you read it, and you read it, and it's not clicking, and then another brother or sister will come along and share, and it's like, wow, I never saw it that way before. And sometimes God will do that. He'll give you a better understanding of his word. But the Holy Spirit can also give you a word of knowledge about a particular situation, about maybe somebody. I shared with you last week about an opportunity where God used me to know about a brother who was having a problem with immorality. Everybody that knew this man knew that he had a reputation for being a godly man, and you would never suspect something like that. And yet God gave me this word of knowledge that he had this. I was able to confront him. He broke down in tears, and he was able to get through that and repent of that. And no, you don't have to worry. God's not giving me a word of knowledge about anything in your life yet. But anyway, that's the word of knowledge, having this ability that God gives you to know something that you otherwise wouldn't know. And then the next thing we looked at was manifestation of faith. This is like a supernatural faith. It's not just the faith of, you know, having a saving faith or, you know, trusting God. Yeah, I know that he'll give me a good day today or something. This is having faith for those situations that are just beyond your understanding, beyond explanation. Something that's just so unbelievable. I don't have any idea how I'm going to get through this. And yet, God injects that little extra supernatural faith that I'm going to trust him. I can trust him. And nothing's going to shake me. That's what we're talking about here. Now look at verse 8 again. To one is given through the Spirit the utterance or word of wisdom. To another the utterance or word of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. That's the next manifestation. Gift of healing. Gift of healing. Now, last week I mentioned that you might be surprised by this one. And as we dig into this, I think you might be a bit surprised. But if you'll notice, of all the manifestations that are mentioned here, this is the only one that's preceded by gifts of healing. And there lies the very first piece of confusion for anybody that is studying this particular passage in its true context. Remember, context, context. So if Paul is writing about the manifestation of the Spirit and not the gifts, then why does he call this one gifts of healing? I'm so glad you asked. And again, you're going to be really surprised by this one. It's a great question, and it definitely deserves a good answer. But you need to follow closely with me on this, because there's some really good stuff. You know, when you read the scriptures, you just kind of read through them, and it's like, okay, all right. And you don't think about it. But when you really dig into it, just a single word can make all the difference. And that's the way it is with this particular passage. As we were studying the true spiritual gifts back in Romans chapter 12, if you remember that, an important thing to note in that particular passage was that gift was in the singular. Every single gift that was mentioned was a singular gift. Each believer receives a singular gift of prophecy, service, teaching, exhortation, giving, leading, or mercy. But notice here in verse 9, Paul says gifts of healing, plural, gifts, plural. And that's not by accident. Another really important thing to note here, and again, our English doesn't show it, doesn't point it out, but the word healing is also in the plural form. So it's gifts, plural, of healings, plural. Okay, just hang on to that little tidbit there. So what the verse really is actually saying, if you wanted to read it a different way, to another, many gifts of various kinds of healing. Now, let's think about that for a minute. What different types of healings are there? Well, there's physical type of healings. That's the first thing that would come to anybody's mind, right? To be healed physically. It could be a terminal illness. It could be a crippling disease, a long-term ailment, birth defect. The list goes on. A broken bone, a bodily injury, anything that you can imagine, it would be a physical type of a healing. And along with that could also come an addiction. You know, healing from an addiction would be an example. If you've ever known anybody that had a real serious addiction, and, addictions are hard to break, right? Maybe even just addicted to food. But addictions are hard to break. And anybody that has had a true healing from an addiction, it's just like, it's gone. Another type could be a psychological type healing, you know, a mental thing or whatever, something traumatic that's happened in somebody's life that has kind of messed up their head. An extreme fear or a phobia could be some type of a psychological type healing. And they could be supernaturally healed from that. But there's another type of a healing that I don't want us to forget about. Of all the healings, this is probably one that happens most and without a doubt is by far the healing that anyone could experience, not to mention definitely a divine act of God, a spiritual healing. Salvation. Salvation is another type of a healing. Now here's the point. As we looked at the supernatural spiritual gifts, we found that they were the supernatural talents and abilities that God gives somebody, you know, to fulfill their spiritual ministry. The way God works through a person to empower their particular ministry. The manifestation of the Spirit is the supernatural empowerment given to energize our gifts and our ministries to demonstrate His power, His person, and His glory. Another thing that's really important to remember, and I don't want you to miss this, manifestation of the Spirit, and I've said this so many times, is something that we receive. Not something that we impart. Something that we receive. It's God working through us. We receive it. We don't impart it. We're not given the gift of being able to heal others, but rather we receive healing gifts or various gifts of various healings when God chooses. When God chooses. So the next time you hear someone say that I have the gift of healing, and typically that's followed with a stage show, no, they don't. No, they don't. They may have been gifted with a healing, but only God is the one that does the healing, okay? I think we're clear on that, right? God is the healer. I think we sang about that a little bit ago. So having said all that, God will supernaturally, the Holy Spirit will supernaturally manifest Himself by giving us, the body of Christ, remember it's all in unity, a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge, faith, and so on, including healings, so that the body would be built up and God would be glorified. So now think about that for a moment. Of all the various manifestations, you can see how nothing touches us more deeply than a gift of healing. A gift of healing, a supernatural healing. And that's why Paul calls it a gift. To be healed by God, what an incredible gift from God, especially when you're talking about salvation. And speaking of this word gift, now, here's where it's going to start getting exciting. This is where I think it's going to put a grin on your face. This word gift, and this is so, so important. There are roughly 7 different Greek words in the scripture that can be translated as gift. And believe it or not, all 7 of them have a little different understanding of how that word gift is being applied, what it really means. This particular Greek word that Paul uses here of gifts, it means grace given or favor freely given. Does that pop any ideas in your mind? The first thought that comes to my mind, of course, is the free gift of salvation. The free gift of salvation, which is what? Given by grace. Grace given. Freely given to believers. Now, with that in mind, let's now go back to this word healing. It should help you better understand what Paul's talking about here in verse 9. Matthew chapter 8, verse 5 through 7. It says, when he had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, entreating him and saying, Lord, my servant is lying paralyzed at home, suffering great pain. And he, Jesus, said to him, I will come and heal him. And now that particular word, that Greek word is therapeuo, which is to be cured or relieved from some sickness or disease. And by the way, we get our English word therapy from that particular Greek word. Verse 8 says, but the centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy for you to come under my roof, but just say the word and my servant will be healed. Totally different Greek word here. Eiomai. Eiomai is the Greek word here. It means to be made complete or made whole, to be saved. So the centurion probably was speaking on behalf of not just this particular person, but maybe his entire household. But Jesus acknowledges his faith, his tremendous faith here. And so he goes on, verse 13, he says, and Jesus said to the centurion, go your way and let it be done to you as you have believed. And the servant was healed that very hour. Eiomai. He was made whole. He was being made complete. He was saved that very hour. Because of this man's great faith, this servant was saved. And I'm sure he was not only healed physically, but spiritually he was healed that very moment. And then in the following verses, we see where Jesus went to then Peter's home and saw his mother-in-law laying sick in bed and with a fever, and Jesus healed Peter's mother-in-law. He cured her of the ailment, the other type, therapeuo type of healing here. In fact, Matthew goes on to say that Jesus healed all who were ill, who were coming, again, healing them of a sickness or of a disease. Find a lot more examples in Mark chapter 1, where Jesus went about physically healing people of various diseases and ailments. Mark chapter 1, verse 32, and when evening had come, after the sun had set, they began bringing to him all who were ill and those who were demon-possessed, and the whole city gathered at his door. Can you imagine? Talk about a healing service. And he healed many who were ill with various diseases and cast out demons. And he was not permitting the demons to speak because they knew who he was. And again, that type of healing is the therapeuo, is to heal somebody of a type of a disease or an ailment. But now turn over to Peter, 1 Peter chapter 2. It's a passage that we should probably all be familiar with. 1 Peter chapter 2. Verse 21, for to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you might follow in his steps. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. Verse 24, he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. Which Greek word do you think that one is? Eiomai. They were made complete. They were made whole. It's referring to salvation here. And so do you see the distinct difference between these two types of healings? Well, so now go back to our passage in 1 Corinthians 12. Verse 9, to another, various gifts or grace gifts of healing by the one Spirit. Can you guess which healing this is referring to? I think based on what I've been telling you, it's probably kind of obvious. He's talking about the salvation type of a healing here. Eiomai, to be healed, to be made whole, to be made complete. I tell you all this because while Paul may have had in mind various types of physical or psychological type of healings, I think he's really wanting to remind us of all the things that the Holy Spirit manifests himself in your life. What a better way to show the power of God in your saving grace, being saved freely. Romans 3:24, justified as a gift by his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. It's awesome. It's awesome. That's why he makes it a point here to say gifts, plural. The grace that's poured on to you for salvation. Listen to Romans chapter 5, verses 15 through 17. But the free gift is not like the transgression. For if by the transgression of the one, the many died, much more did the grace of God and the gift by the grace, that's that word, by the one man Jesus Christ abound to the many. And the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned. For on the one hand, the judgment arose from one transgression, resulting in condemnation. But on the other hand, the free gift arose from many transgressions, resulting in justification. For if by the transgression of the one, death reigned through the one, much more those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in the life through the one, Jesus Christ. Awesome. You probably have Romans 6:23 memorized. If not, you need to memorize it. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. And in 2 Corinthians 9:15, Paul reminds us, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Indescribable gift that gift of grace, God's salvation, his healing, being made whole, being made complete in Jesus is truly a gift. Amen? Awesome gift. Now, I want to take a few minutes to discuss what these gifts of healing are not. Okay, now that we've kind of gotten a handle on this, you may hear people say, oh, but it's not. No, I want you to understand some things that it's not. I read about a woman, it was a while ago, that claimed to have the spiritual gift of healing. Her name is Mary Malone. I don't know if you've ever heard the name. Hopefully you have not heard the name. But her professional title is spiritual healer who has the spiritual gift of healing through the power of the rosary. Okay, that should trigger some lights already, right? Mary Malone, she is internationally known as the mother of all faith healers. She travels for many, many years all over the world, putting on these faith healing, whatever you want to, I call it a show. But anyway, here's what's interesting about Mary Malone. She testified at the age of 11, she had been suffering from cancer of the leg that was miraculously healed by holy water. However, here's what I also found to be very interesting. Now, keep in mind, she is the mother of all faith healers. She was born with a heart murmur. She still has it. I think she's probably in her 80s by now. She still has the same heart murmur. Shortly after her miraculous leg cure, she had an appendicitis attack, had to have her appendix removed. As a result of that operation from the appendix, she was in a coma for 3 days. At the age of 14, she contracted pleurisy and silent pneumonia, which ailed her for a long period of time. At age 40, she had to have a hysterectomy after they discovered a 7-pound tumor. On and on and on. If she's the mother of all healing, what happened here? You know? Does it mean it's only partially effective or it's selective or maybe it doesn't apply to herself? I don't know. But I'm telling you, if somebody says they have the gift of healing, it's not biblical. It's not biblical. As I've already said, and this should be clue number one, who is the healer? God. God is the healer. And if he's going to do some healing, you know, he may do it through you, but you don't have the power of healing. You don't have this gift of healing. Okay? God is the one that does the healing. And another thing to note about biblical healings, they're always instantaneous. How many times have we heard somebody, they were in the hospital for a period of time, and man, they were finally cured. God miraculously healed them. No, just they had really good doctors and good medicine and maybe a good surgeon, and they were able to get through and recover. But if it were truly a godly healing, it would be instantaneous. It doesn't drag out. Yeah, medicines can do some pretty miraculous things, and we've all known people that got through some really difficult things because of modern medicine and doctors and so forth. But again, those are not divine healings. They would have to come solely from God, and it would be instantaneous. And by the way, also, the illness isn't going to come back. Okay? No offense to anybody that is dealing with cancer or has dealt with cancer, but I've heard people that say, God healed me of my cancer, you know, and then 5-6 years later, it comes back again. Not going to work that way. If God truly does a miraculous healing, it's going to be permanent. It's instant and permanent. It's not going to come back. So you can see why the majority of true gifts of healing are salvation. God gifting somebody with his grace and bringing upon salvation. It's not to say that God doesn't do other types of healings. I'm sure he can and does, but it's not going to be often. Okay, it's not something that we're going to see all the time. Gift of healing, salvation here. Another couple other things here that need to be mentioned about healing, which unfortunately I see this in Christian circles. It's a false teaching. Some will teach that if you are not getting healed, it's because of the result of some sin in your life. You ever heard that one? Uh-huh, yeah, I've heard that too. Others will teach that you're not getting healed because you don't have enough faith. Just need to have more faith and then God will heal you. Both of those statements are wrong. They're not biblical. For one thing, sickness and death are both a curse from the original sin in the Garden of Eden, right? As long as we have sin on this earth, there is going to be sickness and death. It's just, that's the way it's going to be. And only when Jesus returns and reestablishes his perfect kingdom is sin going to be done away with, and we'll no longer have sickness and death. And furthermore, nowhere in the Bible will you find where God will promise to keep his children sick-free, disease-free, always healthy. And no, you won't find that anywhere. Nowhere in the Bible does God promise that you will be immune to sickness and disease. Look at some of the Bible greats in the scripture. Timothy, he had a stomach ailment, and he was never healed. Paul encouraged him to take a little wine for his problem. 2 Timothy 4:20, it tells us that when Paul left the church in Miletus, his friend Trophimus was left sick. Why didn't the elders come together, lay hands, and put a divine healing on this man? It wasn't God's desire. It wasn't God's will to provide a divine healing in that particular man's life. Listen to what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 12, 5 through 10. You're very familiar with this, I'm sure. I'm not going to put it up on the slide, but just listen. On behalf of such a man will I boast, but not on my own behalf. I will not boast except in regard to my weaknesses. For I do wish to boast, I shall not be foolish, for I shall be speaking the truth. But I refrain from this so that no one may credit me with more than he sees in me or hears from me. And because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, to keep me from exalting myself. Concerning this, I entreated the Lord three times that it might depart from me. God, heal me. And he has said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I would rather boast about my weakness that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am well content with weakness, with insults, with distress, with persecution, with difficulties, with this ailment, for Christ's sake. For when I'm weak, then I am strong. Does sin in your life keep you from getting healed? No. Sin does not get us sick or keep us sick. Because of sin, we're already sick, right? You know, and the sickness can show up in different ways, but as long as we have sin from the beginning of mankind, we're going to have sickness. We're going to have disease. I mean, Paul, of all people, certainly didn't have a lack of faith by any means. And yet God chose not to remove the illness from him. Think about this for a minute. If your amount of faith determines your degree of physically healing yourself, then who's doing the healing here? Right? If I could just tweak that faith up just a few more notches, then I'll have a more complete healing. No, no. You can't determine your own healing by how much you can crank up that faith. God is the healer, and he'll heal who he chooses to use or to heal. And why? For his glory. For his glory. He chose not to heal Paul. He could be choosing not to heal you. But it's for his glory. And to make you stronger. For when I am weak, then I am strong, Paul says. But it's faith in Christ that brings us to salvation, not physical healing. You know, there may be times when God will allow us to be sick just to get our attention. You know, we kind of go off our own little way, and we kind of forget that, you know, yeah, God's there, and he may all of a sudden say, you got to remember who's in charge here. He may give you a sickness just to get your attention. He may allow us to remain sick just that we'll remain humble. Just to remain humble. So that we'll rely on him. Not rely on our own strengths. Yeah, I'm really strong. I'm physically fit. I'm healthy. And I got this all under control. And he's going to say, well, wait a minute. No, no, no. I'm the one that's in charge here. I'm the one that's giving you. Maybe we need to just remind you of that. God can do what he wants. He can also choose to heal when he wants. God is greater than any sickness, obviously. I'm reminded, and maybe you remember, Johnny Erickson Tada. Yeah, man, I just looked her up this week, and I couldn't believe she's like 70 years old now. But just going strong. What, man, somebody that loves God. If you don't know the story, she had a diving accident when she was a teenager and broke her neck and was quadriplegic and has spent her whole adult life in a chair. And but oh my gosh, what a testimony. What a testimony. She loves the Lord, and she speaks around the world sharing the great things that God has done and is doing in her life. Remember the guy that was born blind in John chapter 9? Disciples asked Jesus in verse 2, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he would be born blind?" You know, again, blaming it on sin, you know. Jesus said to him, "It was neither that this man sinned or his parents, but it was in order that the works of God might be displayed in him." Whether you were born with some sickness or you've contracted some sickness or whatever the case might be, it's not because of something that you've done. It's just that God has chosen to use you to display his glory. And oh my gosh, thank you, God. Thank you, God, that you would consider me. You know, maybe you're asking that question, why me? Why me? We may never know the reason why. But I can honestly tell you that God is using your situation to make you more like Christ. He is using you to display his awesomeness. He's using you to display his love and his grace and just to show people around you how good he is. So that when somebody else comes down with some illness, they can see you and say, "Wow, I can make it through this." Why? We may never know. But you can be assured that God is in control. God is using. God is so awesome. Gifts of healing. The free given of grace that would bring us into salvation. That's really what he's talking about here. If nobody has the gift of imparting healing to somebody. So the question you might be asking, well then what was it that disciples had that allowed them to heal the sick? That's a good question. We're going to stop here and we're going to answer that question next week. But gifts of healing. Why is it gifts? Why is the only one here mentioned with gifts? God's grace. God's grace freely given for salvation. Thank you, God, for your word. Thank you for the truth. Thank you that you don't leave questions unanswered. Father, I just pray that as we're getting through this passage, that we would just continue to see how good you truly are. That we would just truly understand that you have selected each and every one of us to use us to display your greatness, to display your glory. And that is so humbling. Father, thank you that you love us that much. May we be reminded that as we go through this, that it's all about you. It's all about you. So I thank you again. In Jesus' name, amen.